Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Costas and Timoney. I thought I lost my Lucky Sevens doubler. I did not. It was just to the left of me. To the right of me, I've got Pressure Lux. We're going to have Raven scratch-offs here very, very soon. We're doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're getting out five in a row. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday, and then I'm shutting it down and getting ready for Buffalo. We're going to move on to Buffalo. Luke is out in Owings Mills. We've talked about Samuel Basayo. We've talked about concerts and the fair out here in Timoney. Everybody needs to get out here. We've had great guests. John Eisenberg came by earlier today. Chris Corman from the Baltimore Banner. Some of my Goombas, my little mafia, my consigliere, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, as well as Howard Scher from Duck Doctors. I didn't even give him a chance to promote Duck Doctors, but I'm here. Carson Kamenetz is here. He is the son of Kevin Kamenetz. He's been on the show before. His family is here making a big deal out of this county council thing. You know, I almost ran for office once. I didn't. I always say to all of you, and I had nothing but politicians on last week in Ocean City, anybody that wants to get in the arena like Teddy Roosevelt, you know what I mean? Your old man had it in his blood. How old are you yet? You 18 yet?
I'll be 25 when elected, Nestor.
All right, 25.
Yep. Definitely.
Well, you've always had this in your pathway, though, right?
Yeah, I used to joke all the time that it's the sickness I inherited, but it really is more than that. It's a calling and it's a passion and it's something you can't turn off. You know, the desire to improve this county is generational, I would say.
What did your dad leave undone that you're mad about that you need to fix? What's going on here?
Well, I think there's a reason it's been 7 years since he's been in office, and now I'm deciding to run. I think Baltimore County is home for me, and I want it to be better, and that's why I'm running. I think it's that simple.
What are you running for? Like, I had you on a couple years ago, and you were dipping your toe. I see you at Mako. I've seen you at various events. I mean, you really have picked up your dad's legacy. You channel your dad a little bit. I think people loved your dad would be warm to you, if not, and knowing the story and the tragedy involving your father. But, like, this is – I had Johnny O sitting right here about 5 weeks ago. We kind of christened this place, and we didn't even pick it. It was kind of accidental because we're Dundalk guys. And we sat here, and I'm thinking to myself, if there's anybody that was ever groomed to do this work, you know, running down at the Capitol and doing all that, I'm thinking it's people that dedicate their lives to it. I clearly dedicated my life to doing something different. And when I thought about entering politics, it was because, like, city's on fire. Mayor's going to jail. What's Mueller's running the county. You just lost your dad. Like, I'm like, what? Trump's running the country. I'm like, and I still feel this. We can do better.
Yeah.
We can do better. I always feel we can do better, right? And I think if I were young as you and had the background you had, I grew up in a house where this was going on. I grew up in a political house. My dad was very involved in politics and in community development, community leadership. We had signs on the porch. Not everybody did in Dundalk. We handed flyers out. Ted Venatoulis took real umbrage to me because I campaigned for John Coulihan.
Oh, wow.
And Ted's like, we kicked his ass, didn't we? And I'm like, yeah, you did, Ted. So I knew you knew Ted. But, I mean, when I laugh about Ted, you knew Ted as a kind of a crazy uncle and your dad, and your dad was in politics. This was the conversation at your dinner table where mine was more about baseball in my house.
Yeah, I think that's why you see so many sons or daughters of politicians get into public service because, you know, I grew up with it at the dinner table, just as you said. I received a master class every dinner about this is what's wrong with county government. And, you know, Kevin, he would say, this is how I'm going to fix it and we're going to do it my way.
Well,
if he
saw Trade Point. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Great example of something he has left.
I had David Marks
legacy
on the other day, and we were talking about Todd Crandall's issues and things that I'm a Dundalk guy and things that Todd could stand on. And I said, well, Kevin, you know, Jim Smith even before that and anybody that was involved in believing in it. But, I mean, your dad left these legacy pieces that would be very easy for you to go out and campaign on things that he did that are left behind that are visible and visceral. I mean, even this racetrack and what we're sitting in here now – hey, this is important. It's alive. We got to keep the OTB. We got to keep the track here. Like things that were fundamental to the county that were important to your dad.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the county's identity. We have 200 miles of waterfront, 400 miles of streams and tributaries, farms and green spaces. We have the Maryland State Fair here every year at the fairgrounds.
It's now three weekends, including
three
this weekend.
And it is packed as ever every single day. And people at Costas right here will tell you how busy it gets during the state fair as well.
I told poor Christine she had bags under us. She didn't sleep last night. I knew she didn't sleep. The place was crazy in here.
It's a tough job. You know,
it's empty right now. It won't be on Thursday and Friday. Trust me.
That's the truth. But, you know, some of that is under threat recently, and that's really why I'm throwing my hat in the ring here. I think Baltimore County, you just had weeks of politicians at MACO. We have good, bad, and ugly. You know, the good is when our government services work for people and neighbors feel heard and understood. The bad is when government doesn't work so well, maybe bureaucracy clogs up and our friends don't feel heard. And then we have the ugly, and that's really when politicians let politics drive their decision-making instead of doing the right thing. And that's
like raiding D.C. with the federal army. Like
I mean, there's a lot of talk about Trump sending in the National Guard to Baltimore and to Maryland. And I think that's crazy because these people are here to, you know, respond to disasters, respond to emergencies. And I joke, I think maybe if he sends the National Guard in, he should do so to pick up trash because we have a serious litter problem in Baltimore and Baltimore County, and it hurts our economic corridor. So if he sends them in, let him pick up trash.
You'll put him to work.
Oh, yeah. We'll put him to work for sure.
All right. What councilmanic district are you running?
Yeah.
Give me the lay of the land. People don't know council. So, I mean, I had David Marks on. He's trying to explain where his thing is over on the east side and where it ends, a mile from Pizza Joe. And we're about to bust these things up differently all over again. I had Jones on and Izzy on. I had Nick on running for county executive. I'm going to be, you know, pretty full into all of these elections that are happening in and around my county where I live and work now in Baltimore County. And new businesses like this opening up that are counting on, I don't say better government, but consistent government.
Yeah, I hear constantly from business owners and even just knocking on doors talking to regular constituents that it takes months to get a response from the permitting office to build a simple awning outside their building. I talked to a constituent who called me and mind you, I'm not even elected yet. I'm running for council, and they had to call me to tell me a story about how their home was punctured by a massive oak tree. And
what can you do about it?
They've been waiting months to get a single response. So I emailed the director of the permitting office. I talked to his councilman's staff, and we got it moving. But it shouldn't take an email to somebody running for office to get something done in the permitting office. So that's something we have to change on day one.
His name's Kamenetz. He knows people. That's what I would say, right?
Well, that's the problem. That's some of the bad and the ugly. A lot of what happens in this county is very much dependent on who you know. It's not a fair system, and it's not a just system. And we can work to change that. We really can.
I don't know Kathy Klausmeier about it. I got an issue over in my place. I got to figure it out. Carson Kamenetz is here. So what council and where's your place?
So redistricting is ongoing. I live in Pikesville, and I think the councilmanic district that the council proposed extends from Pikesville under 695 all the way north into Green Spring Valley.
Do you live in Izzy's?
Yes. Right now, Izzy's district. And, of course, the council's expanding from 7 to 9. And I think
I'm always interested in what's happening north because, like, I've never met the guy that represents Hereford. I mean, most Republicans don't come around me, which is why, like, J.B. Jennings came out the other day and I had David Marks out. I mean, Todd Crandall. I grew up with Todd Crandall, so I know he's had a lot of issues. Todd knows how I feel about him. I've known Todd 45 years. I've known Todd since we were kids. People in the county, like this Democratic Republican thing, at least in the county, you know, people try to work together and have some accountability to come out and say hello. I'm not expecting Andy Harris to show up anytime soon, but it's a shame for the constituents. It's a shame for the residents, for the citizens, for people who are trying to make a difference when politicians hide from people like me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is. I mean, as a constituent myself and a voter myself, I think county government can't be partisan because you're fixing potholes. You're clearing snow. If you turn those things into partisan issues, you get nothing done and nobody's happy. So the council is not as partisan as what you may see in Annapolis or definitely not in D.C., and that's by design.
But you are a Democrat.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Democrat. I
just making sure.
I am absolutely a Democrat, and I think I'm a true Democrat as well. When we see what's happening in D.C. right now, it's hard not to look at the destruction of civil service and you know, not turn a blind eye. It's hard to see what's happening.
I can't think of anything. Like, I'm older than you, man. Like, I voted for Republicans. I campaigned for Bob Ehrlich, and when I've run into him, I've told him I'm ashamed of it. Mm. I mean, I had J.B. Jennings on who got his start with Bob Ehrlich. Like, Bob Ehrlich was at my wedding. Bob Ehrlich declared me and my wife, it was our day in Maryland when he was the guy. Like, I'm not anti-Republican. I'm anti-fascism. I'm anti-lies.
Yeah, well, I'm
anti-accountability.
I'm pro-accountability. I'm pro-get things done as well. If that means you cross party lines, then that's what you got to do. I mean, politics, I joke, is Latin for compromise. You need to have those relationships. You need to understand where the other person is coming from, and you got to work on what's in common.
Well, I feel that at Mako. I told Mako's JB great. I told David Marks. I had a lot of Republicans last week. Julie Giordano from Wicomico County, who was from Catonsville. Rick Meehan, who's a Towson guy who's running Ocean City.
The mayor.
And I talked wind with him, right? So he and I got into this wind issue. And, you know, Billy Cole was sitting right here 2 hours ago, solar and where we are with solar and this creep running the country, this felon running the country. But the wind thing, when I'm sitting with a Republican mayor who has a very Republican agenda, and I don't think we would agree on much beyond Fisher's popcorn and a Hobbit crab cake. Literally, I don't know that I have a lot in common with Mayor Meehan. But he started saying to me, how would you like to come down to the beach and see these things spinning out in the water? And what's the benefit of that? And what's it really mean to Ocean City residents or visitors? Are we really saving tax money? Is this Italian company? And I'm thinking to myself, he changed my mind. So I had a Republican here who I probably wouldn't agree with on much sit with me over 20 minutes, and I've known the mayor for a couple of years, and we could talk concerts, which we did, and beach. We love Ocean City. You're there. I'm there. We're all there doing our thing, tax dollars, all of that. But that wind thing is such a partisan issue that because it's a Trump issue, I almost don't want to fall in any line with it because of the dirtiness of that side for me. But the wind in Ocean City, I'm Republican on that issue. You know what I mean? And I told the mayor, I went up to him at the bull roast on Friday, and I just said to him, because he was sitting with the Worcester County executive, who I didn't, he just had a shirt on it, said he was the Worcester. So I went over and I'm like, hey, if you want to talk to Baltimoreans about this issue again, I'm happy to do it, because I think it comes from the spirit that isn't fake news, fake science, any of that. It comes from the heart and the spirit of Ocean City. Now, it is a politicized issue. It's an energy issue. It's a cost issue. But I've seen the windmills in Maui when I've been to Maui up on the hillside, and I'm like, maybe they have to do that out here, but maybe we could have a different issue. So he changed my mind. And I think it Mako, this diehard Venezuelan, maybe I have a green card, maybe I was born at Church Home Hospital in 1968 in Baltimore City, but all of this Republican nonsense, there are real issues that come up that I want to have my radar up to not be anti-everything and be so partisan that I can't have a sane, there's only a few of you left, Al Redmer, sane Republicans left who can sit and talk to me and say, the guy running the country is full of shit, and I see it every day, and I'm not going to hear that, but I will hear issues of local concern from Republicans who voted for Reagan or would have voted for Bush who are not down with what this guy's doing. Because, like, I have sane Republican friends, a few, and I'm trying to rely on that to get me through this second time around.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a law student, and I'm an argument guy, consequentially. So if you come to me,
young man.
if you come to me with an argument and convince me of something, you won't find a stronger advocate in any room, regardless of party, regardless of the issue.
I like science and facts and
education.
Yeah, I like
this shouldn't be a controversial statement. And when you talk about wind, absolutely, we can have a conversation about the pros and cons about it. But when you're protesting outside of Mako with a sign saying "Stop wind to keep government secrets," we're not on the same playing field.
I would agree with that.
It's like, what are you talking about? You know, and that kind of dilutes their argument. It makes it hard to respond.
That didn't come to me. The argument for me was fisheries, the water, and the view.
Absolutely,
how far away it is, and whether it's really going to save anybody money. Who's
right.
making money? I'm in on all of those issues enough to say, come up with a better idea than windmills in the middle of the water out in front of Ocean City. That's all.
Yeah, I think we need
clean
energy.
Come up with a better idea. We got to have some solar. Put some solar in.
I think Baltimore County has been benefiting or a great beneficiary of solar in the last 10 years. And I think it's been great because we need clean energy again. And we talk about science and facts, and it doesn't take a genius to look at what's happening with the once in 100-year storms that seem to be happening 3-4 times a year now.
Like, I'm probably going to agree with 98% of your politics. So give me your platform and how and why you're running right this minute at 25. And some would say, yeah, go get a life, go do a million things and come back and run for politics, go teach like Johnny or whatever. You're diving into this. I'm convinced you're bred to do it. I'm convinced that this is what you want to do. But it's going to take a constituency to vote for you as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm
under... You can't just want to be a politician.
Of course. And
the
and a lot of people
decides whether
be.
You're a politician or not.
Absolutely.
You can ask Theroux, who was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Not a politician.
He's both, I'd say. He's
well,
both.
Not a politician yet. So.
Well, yeah, fair
right,
point.
Right, you got to be voted on. Yeah. Your dad was a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Baltimore County is at a crossroads right now. We have 1 in 5 people in this county that are 60 and older, and at the same time, we have a young population that gets invested in by over half our budget in the education budget every year. So these people, they come of age, they start to be my age and finish college, and they leave. They say, Baltimore County has nothing incentivizing me to stay here, and it's not affordable for me. And I think that's a problem that we have to reconcile with. And simultaneously, with this aging population we have a growing need for services to maintain their residency, to make sure that they're able to age in place. And I think we can do both those things, keep young people and ensure our senior residents are able to age in place, but we have to have the conversation about growth to get there.
I've been having that conversation. I had that with Nick Stewart. I was talking about White Marsh and what the malls are going to be and what these town centers and the areas around them need to be for residential. I've talked at length with Mark Renbaum about the Lutherville project here with light rail and what's going on. So the zoning part of this for the county and county growth and what is healthy and schools and rebuilding three schools right now. So I've been into all of this. I find the aging thing. Maybe it's because I'm 56 and have to get my colonoscopy over at GBMC here in Baltimore County soon. New sponsor for us, by the way. The aging thing, that's something I had not considered at all, that the population, me, specifically me.
Nestor, you're young, all right? That's
57 in October, dude. 60 plus is going to happen on your term. Maybe in your first, maybe in the first half of your council manic run here. So I am... Look, I don't want to be old except when they give me a discount at the movies.
There you go. There are benefits.
55 plus, hey, can I get 10% off? Yeah, I'm in. But I don't really want to be ARP'd here. But I also understand that, like, so much of the budget, and I think I spoke to your dad about this, certainly Don Moeller taught me this in his time, how much money we spend on a county budget for schools and for policing and fire and just those services. Just beyond trash and beyond anything else the county do to get ahead, just how important teachers, schools, police, firemen, how much of the tax base goes to that, and how in our county, the education part and the buildings and the structures, there's a lot of age and all of that. But we haven't talked about at-ease and senior centers and all the things that are going to benefit me, because I ain't going back to Colgate Elementary, although I am very appreciative of your dad to make it happen, as well as your dad really built Dundalk High, so I should hug you for that, being a Dundalk High Hall of Famer. But I see the investment that was made on the east side of the county in these schools, but I also realize teachers... All of the money as I get older is going to go to kids because that's the way it's kind of designed to do. But the fact that we're an aging county, I had not – you're the third person that's brought this up in the last week with me, specifically as a talking political point, but you're speaking to me now because I am the guy who is going to hopefully grow old in Baltimore County. You don't want me leaving, right?
That's what we want
not
you to do.
Not before you become county executive sometime. So, but keeping me here, keeping my business here, which has been here 27 years I think about what will be there for senior people here. What's it going to look like for older people in the county? How am I going to age out into this thing?
Yeah, I think what's been really great is we've seen, especially in Northern County, a lot of 55-plus communities coming up recently. Developments that are saying, hey, we're going to let you age in place in an area that is affordable for you, that you're familiar with, that your family can come visit you at, and where you can see your grandkids do the same thing.
He's
come up in Baltimore County schools.
Isn't that nice?
Just for you.
Just for me.
We're going to name
it
Nestor, too. And we want these kids to be able to say, or these grandparents to say to their kids, you're going to have a shot too. You're going to be able to have a great education. You're going to be able to go to college nearby, work near where you're living, and then retire in dignity. That's the plan. That's the benchmark of a good and strong civilization. And we can get there, but we have to build more. We can't do it with one 55-plus community and totally ignoring where young people can live. I have friends that are leaving this county now, my age, just finishing post-grad, thinking, where am I going to live in Baltimore County? There is nowhere that incentivizes me to stay. There's nowhere that's affordable for me to stay.
The city's yelling at people to come in.
Exactly.
I had Megan McCorkle on. City wants you. I don't have any doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
We got space for you.
I think especially because of how linked the city and the county are in so many regards, we have to have the same message coming out of Baltimore County as well. It can't just be age with us. It has to be grow up with us, stay here, and age with us.
Carson Kamenetz is here. He is running for county council. In the do we have a number on it yet? Are we trying to figure out new numbers?
So
right
now,
different numbers.
Right now, it's four. It may or may not change. And this is part of the bad and the ugly.
Yeah.
This is part of the bad and the ugly. There's a redistricting process that still hasn't ended, despite starting over a year ago. And that's this is.
Well,
a,
I'm not convinced they got the right county executive. And I've told five of them to their face. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then the inspector general thing. I don't know. I live here. I work here. I play here. My businesses are all here. I got some questions. I need some. You know, since your dad left and where we are and Johnny graduating to Congress and I had him here and all that. I need it to be stronger. I mean, I do. And I want to pay tribute to your dad for 1 minute because it just came to me about this because I have you here. I went to Colgate Elementary on the east side. My parents bought a home there in 1953. My dad worked at Martin Marietta and then worked at The Point after that. That house I grew up in, my family, my mother was kind of a daughter to my father, grew up in that house. My son grew up in that house. My son now lives in that house. My son has remodeled that house. I had to pay all the taxes after my mother died. But that house has been in my family for 74 years, right?
Wow.
Okay? So that house. My son's there now, and I'm like, all right, dude, it's time for you to go, move, whatever. He's like, oh, no, Dad, you pay for the house. I'm here. I got no mortgage. I'm good. And I'm like, why do you want to stay there? And the neighborhood's completely changing to those terrible Latin people, people like me when I was the only one there. It's now 78% Hispanic, the neighborhood. I was the first one in. I was a pioneer. I was the first one getting Hispanic phone calls because of the last name on the phone number over there. I go over there now, and the school's there, and I said to my son, because my son does not mind at all living amongst Latin people, being one of them, and smelling all the delicious foods that are being made out there, but he hates that the window shades are down like Anne Frank because everybody's afraid of getting carted out.
Mm.
And I hate that, but I love that the school was rebuilt, and my son stayed. And one of the reasons my son stayed, he said, A, it was paid for and like all that. He feels safe and he likes it. It's home to him and it was home to me. It's a bedroom I grew up in, right? But he said to me, Dad, they rebuilt the school here. Young people want to be here. The school's beautiful. It's two blocks away. He's like, if we have kids, that's where, you know, I want my kids to go where you went, where I went. And the school's different. Those schools are so beautiful, and it's terrible that they're a fortress. They can't let me in as an alum because of guns and kids and pedophiles, all the weird stuff that happens in schools. The schools are these fortresses. I'm a member of the Dundalk High Hall of Fame in my high school that your father really, like, that thing's like a museum. It's so beautiful, Dundalk High. None of the alums can even get into the school because we can't just go and knock and look for Mr. Schley down the hallway anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just walk into a school anymore, right? Like, I could to visit Miss Houck at Colgate Elementary after I left school. Those schools that your father left and Moeller fought for and Jim Smith before your dad and Johnny got to cut the ribbon over there with the mask on and all that. I'm crying over Colgate. You know, pictures of kids I know on the walls up there and all that. That really was the legacy, I think, for your father of taking money like that and saying, hey, Ness, if your dad was sitting here, he'd say, hey, Ness, your father invested in that house. You kept that in the family. You gave it to your kid. We're going to make sure there's a school over there. I don't know what they're going to do about the mall and like all that. And, you know, what happens with bus lines and the Trade Point Atlantic and the jobs that my dad went to. But there is an infrastructure in East Baltimore that makes Dundalk desirable, makes Colgate desirable, makes the neighborhood I grew up in desirable, because your dad, Pikesville guy, other side of town, went to bat for people on my side of town.
Yeah, I think, you know, my father, Kevin Kamenitz, and his predecessor as well, really understood that the best way to placemake, to raise property value of homes in an area is to build a great school nearby, is to renovate old, you know, decrepit areas with brand new retail, brand new housing, and most importantly, you know, good, strong schools. And that's the key. If we can do that in places in my district, in Pikesville, in Owings Mills, and in Northern Greenspring Avenue, we can show people that, hey, we can have the nice things that you may be getting in other jurisdictions, but you can have it in a way that's affordable that you can pass down generationally, just as your parents did with you.
Carson Kamenitz is here. He's going to run for office. Tell me where to find you and all that stuff. They can find you somewhere between here and Pikesville.
So I am Carson with a K. That's how nobody ever forgets it. And it's carsonforthecounty.com. Would love to meet as many people as possible. That's all I've been doing. This campaign has been meeting new people one after another, right where they're at, knocking on their door saying, let me take you to lunch, taking them to lunch, learning what they want, and figuring out how we could best solve it together. So
yeah, most of you kids, you give me no hope. None of you. You know what I mean? Like, just in general. And then I go places, and Bill Cole and I were talking about this the other day. Bill said that he's been going to Mako long enough now that he's an old fart. And the old farts, no offense to your dad and the Jim Smiths of that world, a lot of the older folks have graduated out of doing that event. And he said, now when I go down there, I'm older and everyone's younger. And he said the thing that he loves about it is the younger people, there is a new energy brought on by the indignity of having this felon run the country. And when you're 21 years old, seeing our Capitol steps stormed, and then they went back and put this clown in office so that he can continue to wreck the country, that somebody is stepping up, because it's not going to be me. You know, Ted Venatolas told me, and if your dad had lived long enough, probably would have told me, you can get more done with this crazy radio show than you can running and losing elections. Or, you know, even if you run and you win, maybe you can't be as effective. So I love that you're out here doing this one way or another and, like, participating in trying to make a change. Even if they say he's too young, he's Kevin's kid, you know, the Republican, whatever it is, the fact that you're representing as a younger person, and we say we want change, we want something new, we want young blood, we want new ideas, I love that people your age are inspired enough to get involved. Because when I was your age, you know, I could mail some stamps out and stand it, and I did do signs, and I did, you know, politic on election day out in front of precincts and all that. But running is a whole different level of, you know, I had to have a long talk with my wife, and Jill's over there now running a kid after her husband into this game. But I was going to run a different kind of way just because I was the anti-politician. But I don't know that I ever could have been a politician. I would have been good at it.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you.
I think I'd have been a hell of a mayor for 5 minutes, but I wouldn't have been good at doing this, you know. When Don Mueller told me I had to go in an office and call people asking for money, I'm like, I do that all day, but I ain't doing that for signs to give it to WBAL so they can run my ad. So I have a whole different sense of money in politics.
I would love to talk about money in politics, you know, but I first want to say thank you. You know, being a young person in politics is not easy, and I think I'm very fortunate, of course, to have the last name in the network, and that gets me in the door, but I still have to break the ice.
Well, you're not going to get your feelings hurt either.
No.
You're just not.
You can't.
That's, I think, it's the hardest part, is people to enter the political space, the public space. I've been a public figure 35 years. My wife's seen the worst things in the world written about me, right? Just in a general sense. Like, the fact that you need to be fearless, right?
And it helps having a family that grew up being told, hey, you have a microscope at the back of your head. So, you know, that's another reason why sons and daughters of politicians so easily can maneuver inside of it, is because we're used to it. You know, we're used to people saying, hey, you have to watch every move. You have to, you know, be aware of what's coming up behind you. And that's a skill. That's an intangible. But I think most importantly, you know, we're young and we want things to be better. We see problems in the system. We see folks older than us that haven't necessarily grappled with decisions that it's going to impact my generation, much less than theirs. And we're ready to step forward and get it done. It's not just me. There's a lot of good young folks in Baltimore County that are going to make a difference.
So yesterday morning I shared this. This is for these young people like Carson Kamenetz with a K. Integrity means being honest, truthful, and consistent in your actions, values, and words, even when no one is watching you. I think that's the part of being a politician's kid that you probably, like, that's the part of it that says to me, like, yeah, you sort of, people are watching you, but even when nobody's watching you, that's when this is, like, that's when it really shines through if you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I would love to say I have the most integrity and most honor and most respect, but, you know, I'm working every day to be the best version of myself.
Honesty, consistency, accountability, trustworthiness, moral courage. Work on those.
Where'd you find that?
On my Facebook page. Where do you think I found it?
There you go.
Where all the good stuff is.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, I just saw it, and it spoke to me, not even about Trump or anything like that. It just spoke to me. I read it, and I thought, like, okay, this is what I want to be known for. You know what I mean? But the part where nobody's watching, that was like a Dr. J thing from a sports thing. They say, how'd you get to be so good? He's like, well, I went and practiced in a gym all day long, and nobody was watching me, so it made it easier when people were watching. Practice doing the right thing all the time. You don't have to worry about it when the lights come on.
That's a great point. And if you're always honest, you won't have to keep track of your lies, you know?
God, that'd be a lot of work, wouldn't it?
I can imagine it's difficult. I can imagine.
Unless you're not held accountable for any of it, like the president.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about our IG, and that's why I think it's so important to have an IG, is to say to Baltimore County residents, you can be confident in your elected officials because I am here as a watchdog. So it's an integral part of having this community of integrity.
Are you running for Inspector General next year?
Absolutely not.
Carson Kamenetz is here. If you're in his district, consider voting for him. If you're not, you know, consider hanging out with him, as I did at Mako last week. Really good seeing you.
Thank you very much.
I'll have you out again at some point. We'll have a proper crab cake. I know you're no stranger to Costas here in Timonium.
Costas is incredible. Their crab cakes are honestly bar none. We had a crab cake here on Thursday or Friday, and the second you said you were going to be here, I said, I'm going to be here too because I want another.
No, he didn't. He said, are you doing Dundalk or Timonium? Because that's what everybody has to ask you. I'm going to Costas. It used to just be one thing.
Yeah.
Now, I got to be specific and specific about it. Hey, this weekend, they're going to have bands out here. They got the horses running out here. I'm wrapping things up, but I'm going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. I'm continuing my countdown. Here at Costas today, we featured at number, I believe it was 7. I didn't want to insult Christine. As we're doing our 7 days of countdowns, we did the Oysters Rockefeller here, which is, if you've never had the cream spinach, forget about it. Get out to Costas and get it, as well as the Crab Imperial, make you feel like a king. We're going to be at Coco's, and my last four places, they're not WNST sponsors. Two of them I have never even mentioned on my Facebook page. So I'm very, very excited to release our 27 tastiness tips as well. My thanks to Paul Manna for coming out promoting Trifecta Food Truck Festival, as well as I had John Eisenberg out. I had Howard Scher from Duck Doctors. I had Chris Corman from the Baltimore Banner out. I think I left somebody out. I don't even know. I've been here 5 hours, man.
You got a good job, man.
Now, listen, here's your job.
Come to Pikesville. Come to Pikesville.
If you're a good kid and if your mom nags me enough and reminds me as I put all this away, if I walk out of here without crab soup for my wife and I don't take her home some crab soup, I'm going to have to bring her out here Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take her some crab soup home. So remind me to do that.
Yes, sir.
Always get the Maryland crab soup to go. It's another little tip at Costas.
I'm a half and half guy. I like the half Maryland crab, half cream of crab, and ton of crab meat in it, and you can't complain. You get best of both worlds.
I just love the Maryland crab soup here. That's
you know,
my thing.
I respect it. You happen to be wrong, but I respect the opinion, you know.
Debate team. Here we go. Listen, where we are in the world right now, Democrats are not allowed to fight with each other.
I do agree with that.
Because I would have Westmoreland fight with him a lot right now if I could. But I'm trying to be nice.
You see the arms on our governor, though? He's got some pretty big arms. He just did the Maryland football video.
You know, his arms look really presidential, but you know what? I'd rather them look gubernatorial.
Ah.
First.
Well said.
I need, you know, it's nice that you think you can run, but I want to see you walk and crawl.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. That's my mistruth of the day. Carson Kamenetz with a K.
Thank you very much.
I'm here at Costas with a C.
Yes.
And Towson with a T, or actually Timonium with a T. Get out here to the State Fair this weekend and take care of the good folks. I'm stepping out, taking a break, because I got to get the Planet Fitness. My thanks to GBMC for putting these things together, the Maryland Lottery. By the way, I know you're 18 now. You get a lottery ticket. Always make sure. I still think of this kid as a kid, but he's all right. He's running for office. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.